BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
Well, we talk on this show a lot about sports, which makes sense because it's a sports radio show. But we talk, too, about books. I like books. I like talking about good books, and I like talking with smart people. Our next guest, Doug Levy, who I met briefly in the airport after the Oregon-Wisconsin Rose Bowl game a few years ago, has gone on to write a book. And he's written a book about Olympic athletes who kind of flew under the radar and demonstrated uncommon heroism. This is a guy who has written a book that has a whole bunch of University of Oregon and Portland connections. He's a Beaverton High School graduate, University of Oregon journalism graduate. Did some reporting with the O back in the day and the Register Guard. In fact, Chapter 7 of the book profiles a University of Oregon pole vaulter. Olympics, the Olympic spirit. Hero redefined. Olympic athletes under the radar. Doug Levy joining us. I got to know what made you want to write this book. Doug, thank you, man. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, hi, John. Great to be with you, and thanks for the introduction. You know, I wanted to write this book because I've been just an uber fan of the Olympics for many, many years. It's just a wonderful opportunity to get everybody from around the world together for good reasons. And I've also taken note of the fact that, you know, we really gravitate toward the Olympic winners, if you will, and the prolific winners. So, you know, if I just dial back to the Paris Games, and we have a pretty good Oregon connection there. You think of the 1500 meters. Well, Cole Hawker comes from out of nowhere. A couple of world record holders and near world record holders are so busy battling each other that they leave a little room along the rail, and Cole Hawker has himself a gold medal. And it was scintillating. And that's where we put our eyes and attention. And Cole Hawker is deserving of every single drip of adulation you can give him. God bless him. That was an amazing effort. But if you just take a little more complete snapshot of the Olympics, and in every sector of life, really, you can find heroes who are sort of underneath a couple layers and are doing amazing things. They might be, you know, just showing some iron will to finish a race, or coming back from horrific injuries, or showing sportsmanship like it's never been shown before. And that really attracted me. And that's one of the reasons I wrote and researched and did the interviewing for the book, which comes out Tuesday. So I'm glad to be with you.
Yeah. Look, you know, I know our paths crossed in that airport all those years ago. And I got to know, was this something that you had always been thinking about? Or does it just kind of pop into your consciousness as you're watching the Olympics go on? And then, was there one specific Olympian that you said, okay, this is a book, and then you just said, I need to find others, or how does that work?
That's a great question. You know, a lot of years ago, I remember watching a women's marathoner, Gabrielle Anderson-Scheiff, and she was running for Switzerland, and it was the 1984 women's marathon. That was the first time women had ever been allowed to run a marathon in the Olympics, which seems kind of silly. Now when we talk about it and look back on it. But at that time, she was a 39-year-old marathoner. She didn't expect to win. And the way we do water stops at every darn road race now is not the way we did water stops back in the day. So there weren't very many. And she got severely dehydrated. And without giving away everything in the book, you know, if you look up Gabrielle Anderson-Scheiff, you'll find that she had a traumatic experience finishing her marathon, and yet she finished it. And I remember seeing that and sort of filing that away in my brain. And then a lot of years after that, there was a little story in the newspaper, almost an agate type, about a a sprinter, a USA sprinter named Antio Mitchell, and what had happened to him midway through a 4x400-meter relay in London in 2012. And I remember thinking I was kind of astonished by both of those athletes, and I filed it away. I had a career in running a lobbying and government affairs consulting business, and I was raising kids and coaching and didn't have a lot of time, but I knew one day I wanted to write a book, and I would say to your question, those two athletes probably were the trigger and led me to research other athletes over the years in summer and winter games, and it went from there.
You don't have to win a medal to be a hero. That's kind of the kicker of the book. Doug Levy, author, is our guest. I did a book, not a book report, I did a class report in 1984 on Gabriella Anderson Scheiss, and that video of her as she is staggering, like, to the end, it was painful to watch, but also it was heroic, you know, and it was like, you know, you're watching somebody battle against their limitations, which we all do every day. We're all in a battle with our own limitations, and certainly in that Olympian case, you're on a national stage. Tell me about this one. In the book you have that's coming out here on the 28th, you have a piece about a Canadian sailor who is on the way to an impressive finish and then suddenly looks up and sees something bobbing in the water. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's he's they're all my favorites, but he's an amazing story. You're talking about Lawrence Lemieux.
Yep.
Who's a Canadian sailor, and this is the 1988 Olympics in South Korea in Busan Bay. And the funny thing about that Olympics, John, was Lawrence and some of the other sailors had scouted out this bay as a premium site, told the Olympics, because when they tested it, they found almost no wind. And for sailors in an Olympic event, they like that. They don't want to have gusting winds. And yet when that Olympics occurred in 1988, the wind was just, it was phenomenal. It was near gale force. And so Lawrence Lemieux is this guy who spent years and years perfecting his craft in the fin class of sailing and went to multiple Olympics, drove an Econoline van all over Canada and the United States competing thousands and thousands of miles. 1988 is his time. This is his time, and he's doing really well in this particular race. He starts in first. He misses one signal and fades back to second, but he's in great shape. And then, as you said, he sees a head bobbing in the water. And when you're a sailor and you see that, you're trained to do something about it. And Lawrence Lemieux knew that if he pursued that head bobbing in the water, he would have to leave the course. But he also knew that if he pursued that head bobbing in the water, he might make a difference on a really tough day. And the story goes on from there.
Fascinated by it. And certainly the collection of stories you know, a daunting task to put a book like this together. You know, you're an Oregon guy. How Oregon-centric is the book?
Well, I would say, I mean, it's athletes from around the world, and I certainly tried to present both men and women and athletes from a number of countries. But my duckism, if you will, sneaks in there a little bit, and that there's certainly some Hayward Field mentions that I think people will enjoy sprinkled throughout the book. And then Chapter 7, as you referenced, is about Tom Hintnaus, who I think if you were to really look at the body of work, you'd say this is one of the great pole vaulters of the late 1970s and 80s, but snake bitten when it came to the Olympics. And he's an example of a guy who had to overcome an immense psychological setback.
I'm always struck, and I've covered five Olympics, Doug, so I've been there and I've seen the Olympians, and I've always been struck by that psychology, because at the Olympic trials, whether it's swimming, I've been to the swimming trials, I've been to the track and field trials, I've been to, you know, all the qualifying events, and then the Olympics themselves. At the Olympic trials, there seems to be a moment in an athlete's mind where they go from saying, you know, I hope to make an Olympics, I want to make the team, to going, I am an Olympian, to bridging to, I want to win a medal, to, I am going to win a medal. And it was interesting to me at the swimming trials in particular, the athletes that I heard say, I am going to win a medal, frequently won a medal. It was almost like they, you know, the secret, you know, the book that came out years ago, that they could almost channel it if they were willing to say it out loud. They didn't want to be embarrassed by not going to the Olympics and winning. But I wonder if in reporting about all these stories, if you noticed any trends with how the athletes sort of frame their experience and talked about, you know, the confidence level they had in getting to Olympics or maybe winning a medal.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think a lot of the athletes I interviewed in this book were absolutely convinced they were going to win a medal. Chapter 6 of the book is about a Canadian alpine skier named Brian Stemmel. And he's a fascinating guy because he was in four Olympics, and the last of those was Nagano in 1998. And Brian Stemmel was absolutely convinced that was his time. He had an article about Nagano that he cut out of the newspaper and he kept in his pocket every single day. And he referred back to it and he thought of nothing else but Nagano. And so I think for athletes, there is definitely a visualization process that they become adept at. And I think they're terrific at staying focused. But the other thing about the Olympics, John, you know from covering it, it's a crapshoot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what people don't understand about the Olympics sometimes is, you know, most of us spend our careers working at some kind of craft, and it's over decades, and we're judged on a body of work that is over decades. You, for example, are judged on all of those columns you wrote for the Oregonian.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine if everything you are judged upon is based on what you did in August of 2016 or 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah, very few of us think of it that way, but that's how the Olympics are. And so it is a demanding thing. And, you know, some rise to it, and others, for whatever reason, injury, weather, something else, don't quite get over the hump. But it's a little sad to me that in some of these sports, we judge people by Olympic results. You know, let's go to an Oregon example in middle and long distance running. Not too long ago, there was Mary Decker-Slaney. And, oh my gosh, Mary Decker-Slaney could never quite get there on the Olympic stage. But if you look at the record, and, you know, you and I sat down with some track and field experts and said, who's the greatest women's middle and long distance runner there ever was, with a complete body of work to look at, we might land on Mary Decker-Slaney.
Yeah,
but that's
such
not
a good
how
point.
The public will remember her.
That is such
so
a good
it's,
point.
It's interesting, but I think you're right about athletes are very good at visualizing and very good at focusing and talking themselves into a place where they can succeed.
We're talking to Doug Levy. His book comes out on Tuesday. For those of you interested in it, you should check it out. Obviously, I'm interested because it has direct connections to the Olympic Games. We have the 26 Winter Games drawing close. We're in the wake of the Summer Olympics, but this is a book about the Olympic spirit. Certainly encourage you to check it out. Where can people find the book?
Well, the book is available online, so you can go on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or another one the independent bookstores use a lot is called bookshop.org. It's available in all those, and then it'll be available in a lot of bookstores. Whoever buys from a distribution company called Ingram Sparks, and they sell throughout the country. So I don't know exactly, for example, when Powell's Books will have it or how many, but I hope they'll have some copies because that's an iconic bookstore, not only in your city, but in the United States.
Yeah, for sure. But obviously, for people who are interested, Hero Redefined, Doug Levy is the author. Now, take us behind the scenes. You write a book. It's you know, it's an arduous process. Other authors we've had on have talked about it, and you know, it's like giving birth, right? And you know, the edits and all. And now comes the promotional part. And you're you know, obviously you live in the state of Washington, and you know, you'll be traveling a little bit wherever they want to promote this book. But and you're doing an interview with me. What is this process like, you know, now that the book is put to bed and now it's coming out? And by the way, do you have copies? What's that like when that box shows up at your house?
you've hit at the heart of some of the challenges. You know, I'm so grateful because I started out as someone who is a nobody in the world of book writing and being a published author. And this has been a 2-year process. And all these athletes that I interviewed and all their family and inner circle members that I interviewed were just tremendous about putting trust and confidence in me to tell their story. Even when their story was a difficult one to retell and rekindle. So there was that part of it. And then as you know, as a former columnist, then there's the editing and fact checking and all of those things that go into a book. That's a whole nother category. And then when you think you have something ready for print, there's this next category that you just touched on. Well, unless your name's John Grisham, you better be busting your tail to promote it. And that's the phase I'm in now. And I spent a 40-year career mostly being behind the scenes. And, you know, this forces you to be out front a little bit, which is a new place for me. And I'm getting used to it, but I'm enjoying the journey.
I really encourage people to check it out. It's a great book. Have you already started to think about what you want to do next, or do you need to get through this first?
Well, you gave that analogy of giving birth, and I think it's felt very much like that. And I've been asked a lot, well, are you going to write another one? I've come to the conclusion that I probably am, because I have a lot of the ideas running around in my mind. But I kind of have to put that on the back burner and be in this mode of letting people know about this piece of work. To answer your question, there are some hard copies out there, but most of them won't be issued and circulated until Tuesday. I did get my author's copies in the mail, and so that opening of the box and seeing a real product with your name on it was kind of a rush, so that was fun.
All right. Well, on your way, Doug Levy. Onward and Godspeed to you. Good luck with the book.
John, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
You bet. All right, there he is. For people who want to check the book out, it's out on Tuesday. We're in front of the curve on this one. Hero Redefined by Doug Levy. I mean, I'm fascinated first by the written word, right? Obviously, as a writer and somebody who's now writing for johnconzano.com, I find myself drawn to stories and storytelling. And I always have been since I was a kid, and my dad would take me into a bookstore and I was surrounded by all of these words on paper, bound, Jack London, John Steinbeck, Ernest Hemingway, Edgar Allan Poe. These were all of my favorite writers. And I go to college, and what do? I become an English literature major, and it's Herman Melville and Nathaniel Hawthorne and, you know, a lot of other written works that I was drawn to. But I'm also fascinated by the process of writing a book. And Sally Jenkins of the Washington Post, she's an aunt of mine, and she said to me, why don't you write a book? And I've got ideas for books, and I would love to sit down and write a book. But the people I talk with, like John Branch, who has written several amazing books, and Doug Levy, who just came on, and even Sally herself will tell you, like, it is like giving blood. And then I say, well, when am I going to write a book? Like, you know, between hosting on breaks of commercial breaks on the radio show, or writing for my own thing, or doing television, no, and raising 3 girls. Like, I haven't wrapped my head around the opportunity. And I did have one publisher who offered me a chance to write a book, and I almost signed the contract and wrote it. And I said, no, I couldn't do the book I want to do, given the time constraints. And so I didn't do it. And I'm just fascinated by people who do it, because it's like, it's the equivalent of running a marathon or doing an Ironman triathlon. It is a commitment. So I like anytime somebody makes a movie and spends $200 million on a movie, I'm going to go buy a ticket and watch it, because, hey, they put $200 million into this. I want to check it out. And Doug Levy's book, I will check that out as well, because sounds like a fascinating written synopsis of all these heroes who didn't win medals. And it's true when you go to the Olympics. There's so many amazing stories happening every single day, multiple times a day, in every Olympic Games. And television cannot capture it all. Just can't. All right, Punch It Audio's coming up. Leave it here. John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News in Hour 3.